You're listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
Oh!
Easy, Batman. Jesus Christ. Redlining it.
I'm sorry, I just get so excited in part two.
Well, Scott, this is another song off of Podsafe. And this is called The Way It Is by the band Zero Down from the album With a Lifetime to Pay. So if you want to check that out, you could go to podshow.com and you can look up the bands there. And you can check it out. You can listen to a sample of it, or you can click right to the website and you can actually buy the album.
That's hot.
A lot of their tunes are really good.
Did you buy the album?
No, because I can download them for free. I'm a member, you know. We post our podcast on there.
Well, John, at the end of part one, we went out with alcohol. What was the name of the song?
Hate on Hate.
Hate on Hate. And I think that's a tradition we should start, because we do three parts.
Yeah.
So we can play three songs at the end of each part.
Yeah.
And because some of the fans have wanted to know what we sound like. So we can include some of our songs, some of Alcohol songs. And any of you out there listening that have your own band together, send us a song and we'll play it at the end of one of our parts. And I want to also, El Jeffo has a Jewish rap that he sent me the lyrics for. It was pretty funny. And I saw on the forum that Drunk Midget El Jeffo and King Healy might get together and try to record that for us.
All right.
So
cool.
If they were to do that, we would play it going out of one of the parts. But if it was so goddamn spectacular, we might have to dedicate an entire segment to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear that, brother.
So, and the other thing I wanted to mention.
Let's listen a little bit. They rock, don't they?
No doubt. Ta-da. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention, Tony Hearn.
Yeah.
Says he likes women. But he still hasn't posted his top 10 doables. So I'm looking for his top 10 doables, which we will scrutinize in our next podcast to make sure he's on the level. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
No doubt.
I hear that.
Well, John, I got a story about another band from Chicago.
John, I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
The indie rocker exposes his genitals and penis to unsuspecting Christians. The drummer of Chicago secular indie rockers Make Believe is facing up to 10 years in prison after exposing himself to music-loving Christians.
I thought you covered that last week.
I did not.
You sure?
I'm positive. Because forgot. This is out of Blender magazine with Ashley Simpson on the cover, and I still don't get Ashley Simpson, John. Can somebody please tell me why there is such fascination about Ashley Simpson?
Fascination?
Fascination.
Well, they have this fascination there, brother.
I just don't get it. She's not one-tenth as attractive as her sister, who's a total, the light bulb is off, if you know what I mean, John.
Right.
And jitterbug or whatever she was doing on Saturday Night Live when they caught her lip syncing.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Take the six nuggets
but
and
you
throw
can't
two of them away.
Open a magazine without seeing this woman. And she's all over the place. She has an album out, apparently, which I've never heard, but it's selling like hotcakes. Who's buying this is what I want to know. Anyway, let's get back to the original story, John. I have a couple of questions about the story already. Man. The indie rocker exposed his genitalia and penis to unsuspecting Christians. Now,
genitalia and penis.
What if genitalia isn't the cock? What is genitalia?
Stuff.
It's stuff.
Yeah. It's actually
recycled stuff.
Well, is this guy like a hermaphrodite? where he exposed his vagina and his penis? What is genitalia if it's not the penis, John? I'm having trouble with the story already.
It's stuff.
And I think it's funny that the name of this Christian rock band is Make Believe.
No, secular rock band.
Oh, secular. What's the difference?
You said it was secular.
Okay, so secular. What does that mean?
They have no religion, you know.
Because they're Make Believe.
You and I are secular.
All right. All right, then. So why would they be playing to all Christians? I don't get it. I'm confused.
I don't know.
Anyway, according to the police affidavit, Nate Kinsley walked to the front of the stage and took off his pants and exposed his genitalia and penis to the crowd.
I mean,
how do you do that? Hey, folks, here's my genitalia. Oh, here's my penis. During the band set at the warehouse in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Unburdened by his clothing,
Did you hear me spit my ice cube right by?
I did. He then proceeded to squeeze the sweat from his shorts over the heads of those in the front row of the non-air-conditioned venue. When police officers asked the 200-strong audience if they had been disturbed by what they had seen, half of the crowd raised their hands. Kinsley was then handcuffed and arrested for indecent exposure. So what if only a quarter of them raised their hands? Would the police said, we're going to go get a donut then? I mean, what would have happened?
Gonna go get a donut.
And is this how they decide if it's indecent or not? Raise your hand if you think that was indecent to see his genitalia and his penis. Let me ask you this, fans. What if he just saw his genitalia? Okay. Now, what if he just saw his penis? But you saw both of them.
What if you just saw his
stuff?
His stuff. Get this, John. If convicted, this guy... I feel for him, John.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
If convicted, he faces maximum penalties of $20,000 in addition to jail time. He'd also have to register as a known sex offender in Oklahoma. This was Make Believe's first time touring with Christian bands Me Without You and Veda.
Nice.
We wanted to play in front of people who had no idea who we were or what to expect, says Tim Kinsley, Nate's brother and bandmate. All right, well, Nate, you might be facing 10 years in prison for showing your genitalia and your penis to Christians.
Stuff.
Showing your...
This is recycled stuff.
I think that's what it is. Stuff.
Stuff.
Hey, what's your name?
Scott.
Wow.
It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
What'd you do?
What'd you say?
All right, John. Right?
Why?
You're naughty.
Yeah. I get easily distracted, don't I? I found this story.
What is it, man? Tell me.
Diamonds can't tempt honest L.A. cabbie. It's about this guy, this cab driver... They returned some diamonds in Los Angeles. Hader Siddiqui didn't give much thought to the small zippered pouch that a passenger forgot in his taxi. Come on.
What's going on?
I don't know. Hello.
Hello.
Let me start that again. A little technical difficulties. Hader Siddiqui.
Hey, John.
What?
You want to hear a Ryan Cabrera joke?
Yeah. What's it?
Why don't rabbits make noise when they have sex?
Why?
They have cotton balls. You thought that was funny?
Yeah, that was pretty goddamn funny.
All right, then.
You fucking bitch!
You didn't think that was funny?
No, I don't get it.
You don't get it?
I don't get it.
Your balls like slapping on the ass.
I get that.
And they're cotton.
They don't have cotton balls.
It's a joke.
Right.
Jesus. Oh, God.
That's right. I have to suspend my belief system.
Anyway. Hader Siddiqui found this small zippered pouch that a passenger forgot in his taxi cab when he got out of the Los Angeles airport. Got out at the Los Angeles airport. Siddiqui stashed the brown bag in the front, where it remained as he took his checkered cab to the car wash, drove a passenger to Long Beach, and met a fellow cabbie for lunch Wednesday. Scott, As he walked off to the restroom, Siddiqui asked his friend to check the bag for identification. Oh, God! Siddiqui, 40, recalled his friend saying.
Is that what he would say?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Siddiqui?
No, Siddiqui, 40, recalled his friend saying.
Oh, his friend.
As he stared into the bag. Look at those things! Inside, packed in clear plastic cases, were diamonds. About 100 of them, Scott. Cut and polished and worth, it turned out, $350,000. Also inside was a cell phone bill. Siddiqui, a father of two with a pregnant wife, called the number, trying to sound nonchalant. Did you leave anything? The Afghan immigrant asked the man who answered, according to the Los Angeles Times. Oh, my God, the voice on the phone responded, according to a story in Friday's newspaper. Siddiqui arranged to meet the man, identified as Eric Austin, who had not yet departed LAX for New York at the airport police station. Police inventoried the diamonds and confirmed Austin's identity. I'm having trouble with his name, Scotters. Scott Austin... Scott Austin calmly took possession of the gems, hugged Siddiqui, and promised him a reward. Siddiqui said keeping the loot never entered his mind, even though his wife loves diamonds and he dreams of opening a restaurant. God is up there, he said Thursday as he waited outside an auto shop where his cab was having its brakes fixed. He always watches. So, Siddiqui, kudos to you, man. Because after he returned those diamonds, he was given a $10,000 reward and a diamond-encrusted gold bracelet for his wife as a reward. Did nice. I say as a reward?
As a reward.
It was reported Wednesday, as a matter of fact. Scott, Hadir Siddiqui found the leather bag containing at least 100 cut diamonds in the backseat of his cab earlier this month. And that's basically what happened, and I said that already. But he got this, the jeweler promised a reward, but Siddiqui didn't think much about it until a few days ago when he received a package containing the diamond bracelet and $10,000 check, the Daily Breeze reported. Siddiqui, an Afghan immigrant who lives in El Segundo with his wife and two boys, with a third child on the way, told the Breeze that the money would go to into a bank account to be used to help pay for their children's schooling. And they should actually give it to me for my reading difficulties.
Did you print every story about this, and are you reading every one of them?
No.
Because I'm having deja vu.
Why?
Because he's an Afghan immigrant.
Right. In El Segundo.
Oh, that's the new piece of information.
Highlight.
Nice in El Segundo. John, would you do that if you were a cab driver? Would you return the diamonds?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
How much were the diamonds worth overall?
$350,000.
Nice. Yeah, I'd return them too. Because I wouldn't even know what they're worth, right?
Well, I tried the live vote on MSN.com.
Right. And they asked you if you'd return them?
The question was, would you have returned the diamonds if you were a cabbie? And here were the answers you had to select from. Of course, it would never occur to me to keep them. That's the one I picked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my conscience would have harassed me if I kept them. Or no, the insurance probably would have covered the owner's losses. And out of over 10,000 responses, 49% said, of course. 36% said, yeah, my conscience would have harassed me. And 14% said, no, insurance probably would have covered the owner's losses. So you figure, what is that, about 86% would have given the guy back his stuff.
Right, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And 14 would have said, no, I would have given him back. Because what am I going to do with him? I have no idea what diamonds are worth.
Yeah.
I really don't care for diamonds to begin with. And just think of this, John.
You know they're a useless gem, and it's all controlled by the diamond cartel. What's that, De Beers?
Yeah, De Beers. Yeah, and think of this, John. If we didn't turn them in, we wouldn't get mentioned on Total Talk Nonsense.
That's right.
That's right, and that's
right.
The most important thing. Hey, get this, John.
I got to get a snort button. Wait a minute.
Cab driver in New York, what is that, $200 a day, finding diamonds in the back seat and returning them, $10,000 reward, getting mentioned on John and Scott Total Talk Nonsense. priceless.
Oh, I thought you were reading another story. I was like, wait a minute.
No. This is our promo, man. It's our commercial.
Because my cab driver found the diamonds in Los Angeles. Yours found it in New York. So I was like, wait a minute. There's another story? Holy sh! What are the chances?
Pretty slim. Slim to none, I would say.
And I thought you were goofing on me.
Of course not. I would never goof on you, cocksucker.
Nice. So, yeah, am I supposed to read another one?
No, I got one. If you need to take
a
breather.
Got? What do you got?
Well, I got this thing about creative people, John. Talk about creativity. Professional artists.
That's a good sound I made, isn't it?
It is. Professional artists, poets, and podcasters hook up with two or three times as many sex partners as other people, new research indicates. Now, this is coming out of Britain, okay, John? And here's
John,
what I don't get.
I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
British men and women found that creative types averaged between 4 and 10 partners, while less creative folks had typically had 3 partners.
Oh.
Now, what's going on over in Britain? 4 to 10 partners. How many partners have you had, John?
In my life?
Yes.
One. My lovely wife.
Really?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I guess I'm the more creative of the two.
Yeah, you gotta be.
Because I've had 3 or more. And I'm just thinking,
you
what's whore. What's up with the Brits, man? 4 to 10. What is that?
No, I'm sure I've had more than that.
And typically had 3. That's for the less creative folk. The more creative the study participants, the more partners they had. Previous studies have hinted at all this, and anyone mingling seriously with artists might have suspected as much, John.
Whoa.
But this is the first study to provide firm evidence. Ooh, firm. What's behind the results? It could be that very creative types lead a bohemian lifestyle and tend to act on more sexual impulses and opportunities, often purely for experience's sake, John, than the average person would. Moreover, it's common to find that this sexual behavior is tolerated in creative people. Partners, even long-term ones, are less likely to expect loyalty and fidelity from them.
Wow.
And John, there may be evolutionary reasons as well. The study also includes some well-known... I'm sorry, let me start over. The study also included some known schizophrenics.
Schizophrenics.
And this reveals that artists and poets and podcasters shared certain traits with schizophrenics. Again, perhaps no big surprise, but these traits are linked with increased sexual activity.
Hold me.
Though full-blown schizophrenic patients tend to withdraw from society and have less active sex lives, John.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
Remember that?
Your
dinghy?
No. Oh, was that from Tommy Boy?
Quit playing with your dinghy.
I'm talking about your dingy dinghy. Dingy. You forget.
Of course naughty. I remember.
You're naughty.
A dingy is my genitalia and my penis.
Right.
A dingy is an adjective used to describe a unkempt room. What else you got there, Johnners?
What?
What else do you got there, Johnners? Hey, did you see any movies?
I did not. Did you?
No, I didn't. None worth mentioning.
Well, Scott, and I got a problem with my mic right now. I don't know what's going on here.
All right, well, you fudge with that. I'll continue with the rock
Wait,
and roll.
Here we go. I'm back.
He's back. Okay.
Regular marijuana use damages teen brains. Is it still doing it?
I heard a little...
What the F is going on? I don't know what... Whoa. Hello.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
There we go. Hello. How about that?
All right,
I think I fixed it.
All right.
All right, let me try to read this again. Regular marijuana use damages teen brains. This is out of Chicago. Scans show heavy smokers have abnormalities in key development regions. Adolescents who regularly smoke marijuana risk damaging a key brain pathway associated with language development and some predisposed to schizophrenia may contract the illness early, researchers said Wednesday. Did you hear that?
I did not.
Regularly smoke risk damaging a key brain pathway associated with language development.
So when did you start regularly smoking, John?
I was just going to say, isn't that normal for Total Talk Nonsense, John and Scott, to have problems with the language?
It is normal for us to have problems with the language, just like the W.
But we don't smoke marijuana.
Well, did we do it in our teen years? That's
no.
The key.
No, I did not.
You did not do it
I
in your teen years.
Not do it in my
the first
teen
time
years.
I had hash was 14, and the first time I smoked regularly was in my 20s. So I only had it once.
First time I smoked the weed was 18. That's it. One time at a concert. What kind of concert? A Robert Plant concert. Then I didn't smoke it again until I was 19. So those were the teens, but not before then.
We have something in common then.
What's that?
Well, the first time I smoked pot, I had hash when I was 14. The first time I had a joint.
Yeah.
I was at a party at a funeral home when I was maybe 20, 21.
Wow.
And we smoked some grass, and I smoked a lot, man.
Of grass?
Yes. And we watched Song Remains the Same.
Wow.
At a party at a funeral home. And then we went and looked at the cadavers.
Nice.
Nice.
No, I didn't do that. But, it wasn't until my 20s, then we cranked it up a notch. We kicked it up a little bit.
Kicked it up a bit.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So it says brain scans revealed microscopic abnormalities in a region of the brain that governs higher aspects of language and listening functions in adolescents who are heavy marijuana users.
What? Could you repeat that?
I said brain scans reveal microscopic abnormalities in a region of the brain that governs higher aspects of language and listening functions in adolescents who are very heavy marijuana smokers. Scott, similar Blaine.
Blaine. You sound like Rocky Balboa.
Well, what's funny is that word isn't even there.
It's my Blaine.
I just made it up. Similar damage to the bundle of fibers. There's no Blaine in there.
The bundle of fibers in the Blaine.
I got a bundle of fibers in my Blaine.
Similar damage to the bundle of fibers called the arcuate fasciculus that connect the Broca's area in the left frontal lobe and the Wernicke's area in the left temporal lobe was found in the brains of marijuana smokers and schizophrenics studied. Scott, these findings suggest that, this is a quote, here we go. These findings suggest that in addition to interfering with normal brain development, heavy marijuana use in adolescents may also lead to an earlier onset of schizophrenia in individuals who are genetically predisposed to the disorder.
Well, that's good news then. If you're going to be schizophrenic, right, it's better find out before than after,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because who wants to find out after you get married and have four kids that you're schizo? Smoke the pot, find out earlier. That's what I say.
Right, and that's according to the psychiatry professor Sanjeev Kumra of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York.
That's out of sight.
So basically, the researchers scanned the brains of 114 subjects, 26 of whom were selected because they were diagnosed schizophrenics. Of the schizophrenic group, 15 smoked marijuana.
Yeah, but
why wouldn't they?
We're losing cause and effect, though.
I know.
Is the schizophrenia that causes the smoking marijuana, or is the smoking marijuana bring out schizophrenia earlier? They don't.
Right.
They haven't proven it to me, John.
Another 15 subjects were non-schizophrenic adolescent male marijuana smokers who were matched against non-smokers. It was those smokers whose scans showed abnormalities in the language and listening pathway.
Wow.
The brain's language pathway continues to develop during adolescence and is susceptible to neurotoxins introduced through marijuana use, the researchers said. So, to me, it's inconclusive, this crap, because they have a group of non-schizophrenics and a group of schizophrenics, and schizophrenics smoked the pot, and I'm sure they did because they're like, you know, this is freaking me out. I got to have something to mellow me out. Because, you know, the weed mellows you out.
Oh, no doubt.
And then the rest of them are just really cranking on the weed. But what they're basically, the findings are saying, is that in a certain period of time in your in the age of whatever, in your adolescence, in the preteens to teens, is when you develop those the higher language skills and the pathways that they talk about. And when you really crank on the weed, you know, you smoke a lot of it, it really screws you up. And I'm an advocate of, just like anything else, moderation. A. And B, you got to be 21.
In moderation.
You can't be just puffing away like crazy.
So what have we learned, token? John? We've learned not to do the pot before we're 21, and after 21, let's do it in moderation, and it provides benefits.
Right.
And we've covered those on previous podcasts.
And did you know that caffeine can perk up your memory, Scott?
I've heard that, and I read that too. And I wanted to ask you, John, we should do an experiment one night where we drink caffeine and smoke pot, because they say that if you drink caffeine, it boosts your short-term memory. And we know what the pot does to the short-term memory. It totally obliterates right. it. So we should have a contest to see which one wins.
Well, you got that story, too?
I don't have the story, but I did remember reading it.
Well, more scans, Scott. Scans show equivalent of 2 cups of coffee can increase brain activity. It's out of Chicago again. Brain scans confirm that many coffee drinkers already know. What they already know. Caffeine perks them up. Well, no shit. The caffeine found in coffee, tea, soft drinks, and chocolate stimulates areas of the brain governing short-term memory and attention. Functional magnetic resonance imaging scans. Renaissance. We're going to go back to the Renaissance. That's I want some eggs in the Renaissance. You ever hear that guy, Stephen Wright? I digress. Stephen Wright, you know that comedian?
Oh, I know him.
And I forget. He does his joke where he's reading on a menu. We serve breakfast anytime. So I ordered eggs over easy in the Renaissance.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I don't think I did the joke right. Functional magnetic resonance imaging scans performed on the brains of 15 subjects who had just consumed caffeine equal to that found in 2 cups of coffee showed increased activity in the frontal lobe where the working memory is located and in the anterior cingulum that controls attention. Cingulum. Cingulum. What's that?
That's very helpful.
Cingulum?
Yes.
Okay. We are able to see that caffeine exerts increases in neuronal activity in distinct parts of the brains going along with changes in behavior. As you can see, I am not drinking caffeine in the moment, said Austrian. Oh, Austrian. I should have read that.
Oh, we got to listen to that again? Great.
I can't do an Austrian accent.
It's just like a German one.
We are able to see that I can't do it. We are able to see that caffeine exerts increases in neuronal activity in distinct parts of the brain, going along with changes in behavior. said Austrian researcher Dr. Florian Koppelslapeter of the Medical University Innsbruck. So, yeah, anyway, so we know that already. Caffeine really jacks you up. And
the pot destroys short-term memory. Yeah. So we should have a contest. Do the caffeine before we come in and then smoke pot while we're here and see who wins.
Yeah.
Could be a mess.
Well, you know, I went to the normal website.
The what?
Normal.
There's a normal website?
Yeah, normal. The
Normal.com?
It's the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws.
Oh, the normal website.
Yes. Principles of responsible cannabis use. When marijuana is enjoyed responsibly, subjecting users to harsh criminal and civil penalties provides no public benefit and causes terrible injustices. For reasons of public safety, health, public health, economics, and I'm not even high. The prohibition laws should be repealed to the extent that they criminalize responsible marijuana use. By adoption of this statement, the normal board of directors has attempted to define responsible cannabis use. So they come up with five things. Five levels of use, responsible use. Number one, adults only. Cannabis consumption is for adults only. It is irresponsible to provide cannabis to children. Number two, no driving. The responsible cannabis consumer does not operate a motor vehicle or other dangerous machinery like recording equipment, as Total Talk Nonsense does, while impaired by cannabis. Nor like other responsible citizens while impaired by any other substance or condition, including some medicines and fatigue. Number three, set and setting. The responsible cannabis user will carefully consider his or her setting and regulating use accordingly.
For example.
Right here and now. Like your house.
Or if you're having like a Christmas party with your wife's employees over.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't whip out a joint.
Why not?
Start.
Set refers to the consumer's values, attitudes, and experience and personality. And setting means the consumer's physical and social circumstances. Well, maybe in that case. The responsible cannabis consumer will be vigilant as to conditions, time, place, mood, etc., and does not hesitate to say no when those conditions are not conducive to a safe, pleasant, and or productive experience. I think the last one will be the one that you're talking about. Number four, resist abuse. Use of cannabis to the extent that it impairs health, personal development, or achievement is abuse to be resisted by responsible cannabis users. Abuse means harm. Some cannabis use is harmful. Most is not. That which is harmful should be discouraged. That which is not need not be. I'm emphasizing. Come on.
Yes. That's eloquently.
Eloquent, proper speech.
Yes.
I'm
of course.
Speaking succinctly.
You spoke very well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Number five.
Oh, another one.
This is the last one.
Respect the cock.
That's right. Respect rights of the users of others. Sorry. Respect rights of others. The responsible cannabis user does not violate the rights of others, observes accepted standards of courtesy and public property, and respects the preferences of those who wish to avoid cannabis entirely. So I think that's what you're talking about, Scott.
Right, like my
a party.
Right, there you go. Just don't whip it out. Don't whip out the genitalia and the penis.
Right.
Just and whip the out penis. The genitalia. That'll be
and
fine.
And then the J.
Right.
No whipping the J out.
No doubt.
You're naughty. You're naughty.
I am naughty.
Oh, my God.
That's a mystery.
You're naughty.
I am. Thank you.
John, I'm fixing to fuck you in the ass.
Well, John.
Yeah.
I was reading Forbes the other day because I am a multi-billionaire. And I found an interesting article. Forbes listed the top fictional 15 most wealthiest fictional characters.
Fucking dildos.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Because I don't understand, not understand, but I don't know some of the fictional characters on this list.
Demented and sad.
Number 15, Lucius Malfoy. Who is that?
He is a...
You're a neo-maxi-zoon dweeby.
Oh, okay. Number 14, Cruella DeVille. Number 13, Laura Croft. Number 12, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Wait a minute.
Again, these are the richest richest, most fictional characters of all time.
You really think I give a shit?
Number 11, Arthur Bach. Who's that?
Arthur's Millions? No, what was it? No.
Arthur Bach. Number 10, Willy Wonka. Number 9, Thurston Howell III. Number 8, Bruce Wayne. I thought Bruce Wayne would have done better than number 8.
Sex is your weapon. You said it yourself. You use it to get respect.
Number 7, Jed Clampett. Number 6, Scrooge McDuck.
Oh.
Number 5, C. Montgomery Burns.
I wonder if Scrooge McDuck is
that man is a brownie hound.
Do you know who number 5 is, John? C. Montgomery Burns?
No.
The Simpsons.
Oh.
Number 4, Lex Luthor. So Lex Luthor has more money than Bruce Wayne? That doesn't make sense. Does that make sense to you?
I don't know. Why doesn't Superman have more money? He could just rob a bank.
He could, but he doesn't because he's a good guy.
He's for justice in the American way.
Number 3, Richie Rich. Number 2, Oliver Daddy Warbucks. And number 1, can you guess who number 1 is, John? The fictional most wealthiest fictional character of all time? Number 1.
Who's that?
Santa Claus. Yeah, and that's just in line with the holiday season coming along. And next podcast, John, you and I are going to have our top 5 holiday movies.
Right.
Of all time.
Right.
And we're going to have our the top 10 doable women.
The Griswold family Christmas. This tree is a symbol of the spirit of the Griswold family Christmas.
Well, John. Tom Cruise is in the news again.
Again.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
I went out and bought a... I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. What's that?
Yeah, let me get into character. Hold on. I went out and bought the newest sonogram machine, Cruise told Extra this week while promoting
the cock.
Mission Impossible 3 in China.
China?
I'm a filmmaker, so I've got to see the dailies. And how did the picture of the littlest member of Church of Scientology look? They're beautiful, he enthuses. They're spectacular. I actually went out and bought my own sonogram machine. We covered this last podcast. Yeah. Offered the toothy A-lister who says he was quick study on the medical appliance. You just read the instructions, kind of play with it a little bit, and see the little baby dancing around. It's amazing, John. While it's unclear whether Holmes, who is said to be about 6 months along, finds it amazing to have her belly repeatedly smeared with goop so her overly involved fiancé can watch their Tom Kitten boogie in utero, the American College of Radiology is less than thrilled, John. The ACR is concerned that Tom Cruise has been badly advised regarding the use and potential abuse of ultrasound. A doctor affiliated with the organization said in a statement, this is a patent safety issue. Untrained people, even if they have the financial means, should not buy or be allowed to buy or operate ultrasound machines, which are, in fact, medical devices and should not be used without the medical be used without medical instruction. Also weighing in on the issue, John, is the American Institute of Ultrasound and Medicine, which points out that Cruz's recent purchase of an ultrasound machine for personal use at home is both inappropriate and in violation of FDA rules addressing the sale of medical equipment. So
but
maybe
I hope
they'll
you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
That's the first time I've heard him break your goddamn spine. What happened? Is that a new soundboard?
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
I just want to be a celebration of love in our relationship and how beautiful relationships are, Cruz tells E.T. It's time to really recognize the importance of family and trust and friendship, and I just want it to be a great day. That's he's referring to his wedding, which this will be his fourth, John, his fourth wedding. Isn't that great?
That's great.
And it looks like Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are expecting a baby boy, John.
Oh.
The Top Gun star's fiance gave the game away, John, during a shopping trip when she bought armfuls of blue baby clothes. A source said, Katie didn't even look at any of the other clothes or toys for baby girls. Not Katie funny, is expecting her first queer. Child with Tom in 3 months. And I told you yesterday how the couple had secretly set a wedding date for October 21st. Actually, I didn't tell you that. The Batman Begins star Katie was spotted buying the blue baby gear in Los Angeles. She also went to a shop called Le Petit Batois and bought more things for a baby boy. The source said, Katie bought loads of outfits. She went on a real shopping spree for a baby boy.
Oh my God. Baby boy.
She was walking around with shops. Shops. She was walking around the shops with her arms full of baby stuff and looked very pleased with herself, John.
That's fantastic.
So Katie and John having a baby boy. Yeah. I wonder what they'll name it.
She'll say,
John, I'm fixing to fuck you tonight.
Thanks, Katie.
I'm thinking that they'll name it L. Ron. What do you think, John?
L. Ron, absolutely.
L. Ron Cruz.
Well, Scott, that's all the time we have for this part
it is?
Of episode 32. We'll be back with part 3.
Part 3 coming
part 3.
Up.
Here it comes. That was part 2. Now stay tuned for...
Part 3. Part 3.
Just one last quick way.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.